Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday afternoon. So great to be back. Thank you for being here with us, and we're not letting you down. We got a great show today. The second hour, there's a brand new book called Real Philosophy for Real People from Father Robert McTeague. It's for Ignatius Press, and we saw this book and we said we just got to do a show on that because the Catholic Church for centuries and centuries and centuries, from its very earliest days, stress the importance of philosophy in order to get the mind thinking clearly, even before doing theology. So that's probably the main thing that we have trouble with in the modern world, is thinking clearly. So second hour, some thoughts on getting your thoughts together by studying philosophy. And it's not that horrible, dry stuff. It's really good, fun, challenging philosophy with Father Robert McTeague, second hour. First hour, you may not have noticed this. You may be one of those blessed few who has not noticed that it's been kind of a tough year. 2020 has been a little bit of a tough one, and it just keeps going. It just gets weirder and weirder, and not just weirder, but sometimes it's kind of discouraging. And so we want to talk about having some peace in the storm of this year. And of course, the man we go to is the man who literally wrote the book on worries and many other books, Dr. Greg Popcheck. Dr. Popcheck, thanks for being with us.
I'm happy to be here.
I should also let the listener know, yes, this is the same Dr. Greg Popcheck that hosts More to Life mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio with his wife, Lisa. And he's a radio professional. So I am going to take a nap for the next hour. You just call with your questions for Dr. Popcheck. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884.
He really is going to take a nap. He's got his pillow. He's got his little teddy bear, hot water bottle. It's actually kind of adorable.
It's Monday.
He's wearing a onesie.
Yeah, I just got out of bed. Wearing a onesie. That's not a visual you want to give people. Oh,
it's
man.
Winnie the Pooh onesie.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. And it would be Winnie the Pooh, too. If I had a onesie, it would be Winnie the Pooh. None of these modern cartoon characters.
That's why people want to watch this on Facebook Live. That's why we're recording it, so they can actually see what's going on.
Yes. Now I wear my Winnie the Pooh onesie under my collared shirt that I have to wear. I'm glad. I guess humor is one of the strategies, but these worrisome times, what do you tell people? I know people say to you, I am struggling. Please help me. What do you say?
Well, I mean, you know, there are a lot of different reasons why people might be struggling, whether that's because of all the things going on in the news or just the way life has changed and our loss of rituals, loss of connection with others. People could be struggling for the same reasons they were struggling before this crazy year happened. So, you know, the answer to that question really depends a lot on the specifics of what a person might be going through. But, you know, I think the most important thing to keep in mind, and I talk about this in the book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You know, people see that subtitle and they think, oh, come on, that what kind of a come on is that? A Life Without Anxiety. That's right. ridiculous, silly promise. So I make a distinction in the book between anxiety and concerns. And a concern is a rational, healthy response to a problem. We see that there's an issue. We, you know, step back, maybe take it to prayer, hopefully, gather our resources, look for support, make a plan, and address it. You know, that's a healthy response to a concern. Anxiety is when you see a problem and that's all you can see. And the problem becomes so big that it actually separates you from your connection to God, from your connection to the support of others, from your connection to your best self. And all you can do is stare at the problem and say, there's a problem. You know, it's a bit like standing in the middle of the railroad tracks and watching a train coming at you and thinking, how am I ever going to lift this train before it gets to me, right? You know, instead of thinking, if I just step 5 feet to the left or the right, I'll be okay. No, I'm going to stand right here in the middle of the tracks, seeing this thing coming down. I've got to figure out how to lift this train. Right. That's the difference between a concern and an anxiety. If you're standing in the middle of the tracks, you should be concerned about it. There's a problem, right?
Yeah.
But you make the plan to walk away from the tracks and get out of the way of the train. Anxiety has you rooted in place, staring at the train coming at you at full tilt, thinking, I've got to figure out how to lift this thing. How am I supposed to do that?
Right. We avoid politics as much as we can here, but I have to say, there are people who I truly love and respect who believe that if Donald Trump wins the election, this is a catastrophe, possibly the end of the republic. And people who I love and respect who believe deeply that if Joe Biden wins, this is the end of the Republic, possibly the end of history. And you think somebody's, one of those is going to have to face that and maybe like prepare now. Like it's an election. It could go either way. Like maybe, I don't know, what do you do with that massive political anxiety
well,
we have at the moment?
I mean, and you've got, so there are certain bad thinking habits that we can all fall into, right? And this is drawn out of the research in cognitive therapy, but I'm also going to tie it into, in our Catholic spiritual tradition, the work that St. Ignatius Loyola did in Discernment of Spirits, where he talks about consolations and desolations. So, for example, in the practice, the telecounseling practice that we have at CatholicCounselors.com, we integrate cognitive therapy with Ignatian spiritual discernment. And there are certain bad thinking habits that are also desolations, temptations from the enemy, if you will, that cause us to approach a concern in an unhealthy way that leads to anxiety. So the two categories of bad thinking habits, or if you will, lies, that we believe are in the face of these kinds of things you're describing are catastrophizing, which is the kind of, oh my gosh, it's the end of the world as we know it kind of thing. And then there's polarization, where there's only one, you know, there's only one extreme or the other. There's nothing could possibly be in the middle. It's either going to be, you know, disaster on this side or disaster on that side.
Right.
So we've got to challenge those false thoughts, not only because they're bad thinking habits, but because they're also temptations from the enemy to get us to be ineffective. You know, the things that we're concerned about, when somebody says, oh, if person X wins the election, the whole world is over, whichever side you happen to be on about that.
Right.
What they're really saying is, I have some concerns that I'm afraid will not be respected if person X gets into the administration.
Sure.
And so the answer to that is, so again, if you're going to make the distinction between a concern and anxiety, it's legitimate to have that concern, to say, you know, this concern of mine may not be respected if so-and-so gets in. But that, you know, but whether this person or that person gets in, my job is the same. I need to advocate for those concerns and make sure that those concerns are being heard and addressed.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So I can have a rational perspective on this and say, okay, I'd be disappointed if so-and-so got in, but my job is the same whether they're in or the other guy's in. I still have to advocate for these concerns to say this is a legitimate problem that needs to be addressed. So what is God asking me to do in this situation? And then I have to focus my energy on that problem. Where it becomes anxiety is when I start thinking about how can I control all these political factors that I have no direct influence over, and oh my gosh, my concerns are going to be completely railroaded because, you know, so-and-so is going to, and then I find myself in a very powerless position where the anxiety just consumes me and I fall into that catastrophizing and polarizing.
That focus on what God wants me to do, it seems to me extremely productive. Like that's where, like, he does have a task for you today, or maybe even more than one task for you today. And part of your job in life is to discern, what does he want from me? And in that way, you're not just reducing your own anxiety, you're actually living a life that's centered on God. You're freeing yourself to live a life that's centered on God.
That's right. And, you know, so getting over anxiety, ironically, has very little to do with addressing the anxiety, right? Because the more I'm what's wrong with me that I'm anxious? I just need to stop being anxious. Let me take a deep breath so I'm not anxious anymore. Right?
Yeah,
the more
I focus
on the anxiety,
right,
the worse it actually gets. The anxiety is actually a symptom of a concern that I'm afraid I have no control over. So if I can step back, identify the concern, and then begin to connect with God, begin to connect with the resources God has given me, the support and love that people provide around me, and really reflect on what is my best self? How can I respond to this concern in a manner that really allows me to be, you know, my best? And I can focus on making a plan for making those things happen, the anxiety decreases. The concern might still be there, but I'm not going to be as anxious about it.
Right, right. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest. He's the host with his wife, Lisa Popchak, of More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak, mornings on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. 888-318-7884 is our number here. His book that we will make reference to throughout this hour is among his many other books. The one we'll reference today is called Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And especially in these times of very high anxiety, if you'd like to call and talk about a fully healthy human Christian response to worries, anxieties, upsets, whether they're yours or someone close to you, 888-318-7884 is the number.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Exorcisms on Monday and Rapture on Wednesday. That's the calendar this week on Catholic Answers Focus. The official exorcist of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis joins us on Monday to discuss the life of an exorcist, what training he gets, and then some stuff that's probably too scary to mention here. Then on Wednesday, we ask Carlo Broussard about the end times, particularly the rapture. Is there any chance that rapture might be real? Catholic Answers Focus is available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Get all the details and past shows at CatholicAnswersFocus.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
EWTN is now on Twitter. Get short, timely messages from EWTN on your computer or cell phone. It's easy to stay up to date on a wide variety of topics. Pro-life news, Vatican announcements, catechesis, apologetics, the latest EWTN programming, and more. You can link to EWTN on Twitter from our homepage or go to twitter.com/EWTN. At work, at home, at school, and on the road, stay connected to your world with EWTN's Twitter page.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popchak, one of the world's sensible people here with us today. Always enjoy talking with Greg Popchak. The book we're referencing is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can find that wherever you get your books, I'm fairly certain. Our number here is 888-318-7884, and we're talking about, you know, what Dr. Popchak does through his in his professional life, whether on the radio or in counseling or with various counselors that are in his employ, is take a scientific approach that's also cognizant of the spirit and the faith element in order to help people with things, with situations like anxiety, worry, upset. You don't have to lift the train. You can just step out of the way of the train. I'm never going to forget that image. When I'm trying to lift the train. A bunch of folks on the line for you already. And because I am in my Winnie the Pooh onesie and ready to take a nap, I just want to go to calls. Can I do that?
Fine by me.
All right, Jenny in Council Bluff, Iowa, you are up first. Jenny's listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Jenny, your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
My daughter is suffering from teenage angst and anxiety. What are some techniques we can use to help her? For instance, last week she had an outright panic attack because she couldn't find the right mask to wear with her cheer uniform, and the whole household had to come to a stop to find it. Okay. And we just could not bring her back to reason. How do you help someone in that situation?
When you say bringing her back to reason, so tell me a little bit about what you tried to do, first of all.
We tried to say, where was the last place you saw it? Mm-hmm. Have you checked yours? You know, just going through kind of a checklist to give her something to focus on where it might be.
Okay.
And she just was, but I have to find it right now. And
yeah, she wasn't in a place where she could hear any of that. Yeah.
You know, find it right now. I, you know, and it just escalated from there because you know, we were trying to cook dinner. And so, like I said, the whole household had to come to a screeching halt to help her find this thing.
And is, I'm assuming this happens pretty regularly, or was this a one-off?
It happens more regularly than I would like. She is very much schedule-oriented, and if something goes off schedule, she has trouble adapting to that.
Okay.
So we're trying to come up with ways, but when she gets into that point, she starts panicking because she's anxious, because she knows she's anxious, because she can't find it, and like you say, right, there's that spiral. So how do you bring someone out of that?
Okay, so a lot of that has to do, you know, unfortunately, it's a little bit like saying, you know, how can you help somebody lift the train when they're already trying to lift the train? Like, you know, when you're in the middle of the panic attack, that's the worst time to try to start it. So an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So I'm going to try to focus on how do we prevent that kind of thing from happening again. And then I'll talk a little bit about what you can do if it does happen, okay? So the first thing, you want to talk to her when she's not in the middle of this panic attack or any of this anxiety. And there are two things that I want to do. First, the reason this happens, okay, is that there's something that triggers her, and what her emotional brain overwhelms her thinking brain. So we have, you know, basically three brains in our head. The cortex, which is our thinking brain, and the limbic system is your emotional brain, and you have another part that controls mostly your body, okay? So her emotional brain gets so stimulated that it completely floods her thinking brain, and if you were to take a functional MRI picture of her brain at that point, you'd see that her thinking brain was, like, dark, and her emotional brain was lit up like a Christmas tree. And any attempt to try to reason with her can and will be used against you. Okay, so any attempt to try to say, honey, it's okay, just take a breath and calm down and it's going to be fine and we're just going to find this mess, it'll just provoke her even further. So the key in that point really is to kind of, like I said, prevention is worth a pound of cure. So what do you do to prevent it? First of all, you kind of walk her through that idea that when she's in that heightened state, her thinking brain is turned off, and she really can't solve her way out of a paper bag at that point. She can only react to things, because the emotional brain can only fight, flee, or freeze. It can't think and problem solve and reason. It can't remember anything either. It can just react. So what we have to do in general is kind of walk her through, in the book we talk about this emotional temperature scale. And just to kind of do a short version here, when you're at about a, you know, 4 or 5, you're in good shape. You get up to about a 6, then you start feeling the adrenaline and cortisol dripping into your bloodstream. At a 7, your brain starts shutting down and your nonverbal filters go off, where you start showing outward signs of agitation and irritation. You get up to about an 8, that's where your verbal filters start to collapse and you start kind of either blaming or lecturing or running off at the mouth or even just shutting down. At a 9, that's when you start really kind of yelling and screaming and hyperventilating. And at 10, that's when your kind of physical filters collapse and you start, you know, either slamming doors and other kinds of things like that. You can't really effectively solve any kind of a problem if you get up over a 7 on that temperature scale, which is actually a lot lower than most people think, because most people don't even realize that they're all that upset or anxious until they get up to an 8. That's the first place they're usually ready to admit it. So you got to help her take her emotional temperature throughout the day. When she's, you know, when she first wakes up, at lunchtime, mid-afternoon, dinner time, where is she on that scale of 1 to 10? And it's not how she feels, it's how she's acting. And we have kind of behavioral markers that go along with each of the 10 points in that emotional temperature scale in Unworried that you can kind of show her and help her pick out. The goal is to identify the emotional temperature and then ask, what's one small thing you can do, whatever your temperature is, to take it down a notch? Right, because the goal here is to keep as much of a gap between where you're at and that 7 as possible. So if she's even at a 6, well, how can we bring it down to a 5? If she's at a 5, how can we bring it down to a 4? Because the more space you've got between, you know, between where you're at and the 7 is, the more room you have to handle stress effectively. So that's number one. Number two, if she is starting to notice that her emotional temperature is going up, you want to kind of come up with a list of things with her that she can do to take that down. Can she, you know, pray, take some deep breaths, ask for a hug? I mean, simple things that help. One very simple thing is just slowing down. You know, intentionally slowing down our speech, intentionally kind of watching for my hand reach for my glass of water instead of just grabbing at it. That actually taps the brakes on the slowdown nervous system, which is sort of like, you know how in a car you have a gas pedal and you have a brake pedal? Well, when her gas pedal gets stuck, by slowing herself intentionally down, she can tap her brake pedal and start to slow her brain down a little bit. So those are some tricks that she can use outside of the panic attack. When the reason I'm setting that all up is because in the panic attack, her whole focus is on the mask. I gotta find the mask. What happens if I don't find the mask? You know, the world's gonna end if I don't find it. And the problem is, the more externally focused she is, the less control she has. So you've got to, in that panic attack, get her to focus back in on getting control of her body and helping her understand, okay, honey, we're going to find the mask, but your first job is to take some deep breaths and calm down. But I can't calm down. I have to find the mask. Take some deep breaths and breathe with me. Come here, let me hold you for a second, and let's just breathe together through this. I love you, and it's going to be okay. And right, and you're helping her get control of her body as opposed to focusing in on finding the thing. Right? And the more you're able to do that, the better. But it's going to take some talking to her beforehand, which is why I kind of set this all up. So I apologize for the length on this. But that's, you know, that you're going to have to do that work beforehand to help her get to the place where she can handle the panic attack more effectively.
What do you think, Jenny?
Okay. I think that's good. Where it's just, you know, she's a teenager and some of this is new to us and it catches us off guard and then
sure.
things escalate and
so what I'd like you to do as a follow-up is to pick up a copy of Unworried and go through it together with her. Read a chapter at night together, all right, and start talking through some of those techniques and trying them out. And if you find that it's getting, if you're finding that you're having a hard time working through it on your own, then go ahead and look us up at CatholicCounselors.com and we'll hook you up with one of our associates, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jenny.
Terrific. Thank you so much for the call.
Our number, 888-318-7884. We're talking about finding and maintaining peace amidst the storm. You might refer to Jesus in the storm, who did not have his peace disturbed in the least, and it was turned out to be unnecessary for the apostles to have their peace disturbed as well. We do feel ourselves, man, we feel the ship rocking like we are in a storm this year. And waves keep hitting, and so we thought a perfect time to ask Dr. Greg Popcheck to come on. He is the founder of CatholicCounselors.com. You can go there, CatholicCounselors.com, find out all about what they do there. And he's the author of the book Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. You can call with your questions for yourself or for a loved one, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Roger in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio is next. Hi, Roger. You got a question for Dr. Popcheck?
Yes, I do. Great show. I love you guys.
Thank you.
Yes, my son, my 10-year-old son, he's dealing with anxiety and panic attacks as of recently, within a year. I do have anxiety and OCD panic attacks. So I'm trying to see how to deal with it with him. And sometimes it might agitate mine as well, but trying to focus on him, and particularly when he goes to a restaurant or when we go to a store and he says there's too many people, that's when most of the time it happens.
Does he go to school? Like, is he ever in public
yet.
When you're not around?
No, because they're on the, like, online learning. So that's why I'm worried. I'm like, so we've been training him, like, taking him out. And so sometimes he'll just freak out. And
well, what about before this year? He's 10 years old, so he must have. Was he in school before? Were you guys homeschooling or what?
Yeah. No, he was in public school before.
And he handled it okay before?
Yes. Yes. He still exhibited. It wasn't just because I was the pandemic, because he would exhibit panic attacks outside of school, like in open spaces. But at school, he never said that he had one, but. He's had them, like, in just open space. Even when there's nobody around, he's in open spaces for some reason.
And so right now, what are you guys doing about it? You know, when he starts to feel that way, how do you handle it?
Well, I tell him to breathe and to pray. But I know yesterday we took him, he was having a panic attack. I started talking to him, and he was tired because I was listening to the earlier call. Like, when I was trying to talk to him, he was like, don't talk, it makes it worse. So he was like, don't talk to me, nobody talk to me, like, it's making it worse. So I'm trying to, like, okay, well, because we're in the middle of the store, so I was like, how do I, I'm trying to talk to him, but then he says, like, don't talk to him because it makes it worse. So, like, whatever reason, being around people or a store, it starts to get him, and he's like, oh, it's not going to go away, or it's not going to go away. He says he thinks it's not going to go away, and that he doesn't like when it, or what if it comes? Like, he's always like, oh, what if mm-hmm. what if it happens again? So he doesn't like to go to the store even before we say.
Okay. So I want you to kind of walk through. Now, there are other things that we can do, and if you find that this is a persistent issue, that you try some of these things out, and they're not working well, then I'd like you to seek some professional help for him, and go with him. Don't ever send, just a tip to all the listeners here, individual therapy for kids tends not to work as well as going with mom and dad, because mom and dad really need to know how to support their kid in making these changes and then be able to support those changes once you're done with the counseling. So, you know, if these suggestions aren't cutting it, by all means, get him involved with some counseling. But I have some other suggestions, but it sounds like they're playing us out to the break.
So we'll take a break and you can come back and make those suggestions.
Perfect.
Okay, very good. We're talking about anxiety today. We're talking about finding peace and keeping peace in anxious times. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884.
We're here for you. Call now. Catholic Answers Live.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Fear can be a part of everyone's life.
Is there something you're fearful of and have a hard time letting it go?
That's what we'll talk about tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on most of these EWTN stations.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Greg Popchak, our guest this hour. The host of More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak each morning, each weekday morning on the EWTN. It could be each morning. I don't know. It might be every. They might run it 10 times a day. I don't know. But I know it's on a lot of mornings.
We are definitely on 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 Central.
Okay. Well, at least I know that part. I have. Yeah. That's on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And he's also the proprietor and founder of CatholicCounselors.com. We're talking a bit, we're taking some our clues anyways from his book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, today as we try to talk through, especially from a Christian perspective, how to find and maintain peace when the world seems to be in a storm. Right now we're talking with Roger in Texas, who has a 10-year-old son who struggles terribly and seems to suffer intense emotion whenever in a crowd, like in a crowded restaurant, something like that. And you wanted to give some more suggestions, Dr.
Yeah, yeah. Popchak. Well, I hadn't started giving any at all, actually. So let's get started with you, Roger. All right. So all the things I said to the previous caller will work. So I'm going to encourage you to listen to the podcast or watch the video afterward to kind of catch up on that. But assuming that you've got some of those basics there, I'm going to throw out a couple of things specific for your son that would be additional tips. So, you know, you said that whenever he's going out to a restaurant with you, he's sort of what's called phobophobic. He's afraid of the anxiety. What if I get afraid again? What if I feel mm-hmm. panicked again? You know, that kind of fear there. So I want to address that in a couple of different ways. First of all, before you go out, I'd like, when he says, you know, how do I know? I'd like you to kind of walk him through and say, well, look, this has happened before, and it's possible that it's going to happen again. But what happens after it happens? Do you feel better? Yeah. And how do you feel better? What do you do to get there? So the point is, when you're anxious about something, you tend to focus on the piece of it that's anxiety producing. What if I feel, you know, what if I feel anxious there? But there's a before where you're safe, and there's an after where you're safe, where the anxiety goes away. And it's certainly not pleasant to feel that anxiety, but, you know, but walking him through it, did you get through okay? I mean, did you pass out? No. Did you have to go to the hospital? No. So what happens after that? Well, I feel okay, and then we have dinner and we go home. Right. So if it does happen, and I hope it doesn't, but if it does, you know, do you think that it would go kind of like that again? Well, probably. And even though I don't want it to happen, and I know it feels awful when it does, how would you feel if after it happened, you could still be okay? Well, I guess that's okay. Right. So the point is, you walk him through the fact that even though it's bad when it happens, it does pass and things come back. So helping him be able to realize that there is an end point to this is really important. Another thing that you can do, and kids are great for this because their imaginations are so awesome. I want you to have him, well, there are two things, actually. I want you to have him draw a cartoon of the experience. I want you to have him draw maybe at least three frames, right? The before he's going to the restaurant, when he's at the restaurant, and then after he's at the restaurant. Have him just draw those three frames of the cartoon. But once he's done with that, then I want you to have him draw it again. But this time, walking with him is a superhero that can take care of him. Now, that could be, some people that I work with will say, well, it's going to be Saint Michael, right? Or other people might be the Blessed Mother. Some people will just say it's Superman, right? The point is, you're just engaging the kid's imagination. Who's going to stand with him and protect him and take care of him while he goes through that? And have him draw that story, okay? So he's walking into the restaurant with this protector. He starts to feel scared, and what does that protector do to keep him safe and protect him in that situation? And how does he carry him through that? Draw the end of the story, too. Kids love that kind of simple exercise where they can use their imagination to really see that they have power over that event. Now, in addition to that, everything I was saying before about kind of pulling him in close to you and just not so much talking through it with him, but just loving him, holding him close to you, breathing together. Let your heart rate speak to his heart rate. When we hug another person, we kind of airdrop our emotional state into their body. So their heart rate starts to sync up with our heart rate. Their respiration starts to sync up with our respiration. So the best thing to do when you're trying to comfort somebody who's having that kind of a panic, especially a kid, is just hold them close and rub their back and breathe with them. But these other kinds of exercises I suggested are things you can do when he's not in that situation, that will help him engage his imagination to realize that, yes, it's bad when this happens, but it passes. And that's the thing to focus on.
Roger, I hope that is helpful to you. And I'll just say again that the website is CatholicCounselors.com for anyone who might feel like they could use some counseling help to work through these kinds of issues. CatholicCounselors.com. We're talking with Dr. Greg Popchak about his book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. Can you have a life without anxiety, without having some relationship with God?
I mean, I think it's a whole lot harder. You know, because what if you look, what was the first panic attack in human history? Right after the fall, what did Adam and Eve do? They hid, right? They were afraid. Right. Suddenly they were confronted with the bigness and the of the universe and the smallness of them. And they felt completely overwhelmed, and they ran and they hid because they didn't know what else to do. And I think that was the first panic attack in human history, where suddenly separated from God, I realized how vulnerable I actually was. And that terrified me. So, and again, you know, what causes anxiety, not so much the problems that happen to us, but the ability of our problems to separate us from God, from the love and support of others, and from our own best selves. And the more we can reestablish that connection with God, the love and support of others, and our best selves to make a plan to respond to it, the less anxiety we'll feel. We'll still have concerns, but the anxiety will dissipate.
888-318-7884, the number. Let's go to Martha in Fort Worth, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Martha, thank you so much for your call. Your question for Dr. Popchak.
Hi. My question is, ever since the pandemic, I have been very afraid and worried so much. I lost weight. I couldn't sleep. Now it's like a little bit less, but I am so afraid. When my kids come home, I want them to wash their hands. I want to take my clothes, take a shower, and I'm just too worried. And then my son had COVID like a month ago, and now he feels panic attacks. Like he says he runs out of breath, and he worries that it might happen again to him. So I don't know what to tell him, because to begin with,
let me ask you, how did your son recover well? Is he still, because sometimes people will go on with this for months. So how is he doing now, physically?
He lost weight, and he was weak for a while, and now he says he plays football at the school, so now he says he's getting his strength back. But
okay, good. Okay, so what you're talking about here, I mean, he, your worst fear in some ways was realized, right, when your son got COVID, and the good news is he made it through the other side, and he's doing well, and I realize that not everybody can say that, but in your case, that was the case, and you had been exposed to it as well, because he's your son, and so you all made it through that. Now, the thing is, anxiety is our effort to get control over things we can't control. Right. So what happens in our head is that we'll say, there's a problem. I should do something about that. And then we immediately hear, but there's nothing I can do. But then I hear, but I have to do something, but there's nothing I can do. But I have to do something, but there's nothing I can do. But I have to do something, but I have to. And then we start to spin out from there. Okay. And the important thing to remember here is that grace is always in the situation, not in the imagination. All of the things that you are imagining could happen. That's what's causing the anxiety. What if this happens? What if this other thing happens? It's true. Those things could happen. In fact, they did. Your son got sick. But by trying to focus so much on imagining all the horrible things that could happen so that I could get control of them, we actually remove ourselves from the grace of the present moment. Because God isn't giving us grace to deal with imaginary problems. He's giving us grace to deal with the real ones. So the question you want to ask yourself when you start getting so worked up is, what is Satan trying to distract me from right now? What is the thing that God wants me to do? Who is the person that God wants me to love? What is the thing that God wants me to take care of that Satan doesn't want me paying attention to? And that's why he's whispering in my spiritual ear all these fears of imaginary things that could happen but aren't happening right now, to distract me from the thing that God wants me to do, or the person that God wants me to love, or the problem that God does want me to address. And I want you to step back and refocus yourself on doing that thing and responding to those actual issues in front of you, all the while saying, you know, look, I'm going to respond to this in a way that makes Satan sorry that he ever picked on me in the first place by trying to freak me out about all this other stuff. It's a matter of reorienting yourself to what God is asking you to do in the moment, instead of living in your imagination and trying to fight off those imaginary concerns. I realize that's easier said than done, but it's a matter of focusing yourself on what's in front of you, instead of getting lost and spinning out in what you can't control.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Martha. Appreciate the call. We have to take a quick break. There are lines open. If you'd like to call, 888-318-7884. We'll do our best to get you on with Dr. Greg Popcheck. If you're on the line, just hang on. We'll get right back to you. It's Catholic Answers annual store-wide sale time. Hundreds of items at 10 to 25% off. Some up to 50% off. I actually don't understand that sentence. Hundreds of items at 10 to 25% off. Some up to 50% off. That seems like two different things. But nonetheless, you figure it out. Ebooks, MP3s, CDs, books, DVDs, even our School of Apologetics. $5 flat rate shipping if you live within the continental United States. Visit shop.catholic.com right now and check out the deals.
Call us now with your question.
Hello?
On Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect round out of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Love Mondays, Nick. It's always so good to be back here, especially when we got good guests like Dr. Greg Popcheck. That implies that I guess some of the other guests are not good. I shouldn't have said it that way. But Dr. Greg Popcheck is a delightful guest to have and very helpful. He's the author of he's the author of the book we're talking about, among many other things, Unworried: A Life Without Anxiety, and the host of More to Life, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I don't know what time that is in Sydney, Australia. So have you ever figured that out when you're on around the world?
Yeah, you know what? We have clients actually in Australia.
In Australia?
Yeah, it's like a 12-hour time difference. So Sydney is either 12-hour
12 time. That means 10 p.m. you come on.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right. Glad it's a Monday. I don't know what I'm doing. Let's go back to the phones to save me from myself. Mary Alice in Columbus, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. You are up next, Mary Alice. Your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
Hey, neighbor in Columbus. I'm in Ohio,
yes.
Too.
Good afternoon.
Good to talk to you.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm in Ohio,
you're
too.
You're in
Ohio? Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Oh, we're in Steubenville, Ohio. Yeah.
Oh, I know where that is.
Yeah, and I know where Columbus is, too. So what's going on in Columbus, Mary Ellis? How can we help you out?
Well, yeah. This past weekend, yesterday happened to be my birthday, and I was celebrating on Saturday, and I had an absolutely fantastic time on Saturday morning with a political event for Mr. Trump. That's beside the point. But I was all keyed up and having a great day.
Well, let's try to cover as much of your day as we can, though. I mean, don't leave anything out. We wouldn't want that.
Well, then after that event, and I was, like I say, it was just fabulous. And then I decided I had to stop at the health food store to pick up a couple of items that I thought I needed. But could have waited until maybe one day later this week. But anyway, I stopped in. I don't know how the conversation got started, but the gentleman behind the counter waiting on me, cash register deal, he's a non-believer, and he started in with me about numbers and numerology and all kinds of conspiracy stuff. And I'm thinking, okay, Mary Alice, just listen. And then he made a few more comments, and I didn't go into overdrive, but and I may have lost another soul for Christ, but
You didn't respond well, so you didn't respond charitably to his skepticism.
There's more to this, because there happened to be, I have to give the guy credit. He did stop at one point and did begin to listen to a few things that I was saying. Well, then there was another customer in the shop who happened to overhear things. She is of some other Protestant non-denomination, I don't know what. She made the comment about me, because by this time I had revealed the fact that I'm Catholic, and she made the comment about, you know, worshiping graven images. And
this was a great fun time for you, Mariella. So it didn't go well. What are you asking now, though? Where do things stand, and what's your question for us?
Am I under any obligation to straighten her that, no, we don't worship graven images? And then she mentioned about the white man hanging on that cross.
I guess I'm trying to ask, how would you even go back and address this at this point? I mean, these are just random people that you kind of met, you know, in a store. So I don't think you have any obligation to go and find them. Now, if these are people you're dealing with on a regular basis, then, you know, it would be a good idea not to necessarily set things straight, but to, you know, to apologize if you feel like you were uncharitable in some way, to be in relationship with them where you could actually have a dialogue. But this was the worst possible way this conversation could have come up, and I don't think you have any obligation to go seek them out to apologize to them or set them straight at this point. It happened. It's regrettable. Learn from it and move on.
I'm glad it didn't turn into a riot, though. A lot of things have been turning into riots lately, and give yourself credit there, Mary Alice. You didn't start rioting, so. But the thanks.
At least say that.
that's what I have to get to
now,
sometimes.
Ladies and gentlemen,
hey,
the new bar.
At least I didn't riot. All right. I give
Speaking
myself
of the
credit.
New
for
normal.
Thanks, Mary Alice. I don't know if we were helped here or not, but thanks for the call, Jenny in Alabama, watching on YouTube Live. You are up next, Jenny. Your question for Dr. Greg Popcheck.
I was diagnosed with bipolar really young, when I was like 9, mm-hmm. and I've had 2 suicide attempts. I was addicted to drugs really bad for a year, but Jesus saved me, like, he found me. And I was raised Catholic. I left. And anyways, I was on my bipolar meds until the last 6 months or so, when I really had a breakthrough. Like, I quit smoking marijuana. Even after meth, I still smoke marijuana. I even quit smoking cigarettes, cold turkey. I had some really scary experiences with some bad things, like evil things. But again, like, I had a breakthrough, and I feel like I don't need my medication.
Okay.
Now, there have been witnesses to these things that have seen different things, and it's kind of a testimony in and of itself. I smoked for like 25 years, and I just quit.
So, Jenny, let me interrupt you here, because you actually sound a little hypomanic right now. Hypomanic means right on the border of mania, and when you're dealing with bipolar disorder, when you start moving into that more manic phase of it all, then you start feeling like Superman, and like you don't need anything, and you can do everything. And, you know, so, you know, the question on the board here is, you know, it says your family wants you to stay on your medication, but you feel like God doesn't. I don't presume to speak for God, but what I can say is that God never wants us to do anything that would possibly harm ourselves. And so I want you to take your doctor's advice on this. I want you to take your therapist's advice on this, and I want you to cooperate with your treatment, and do not go off your medication on your own. Because honestly, it sounds like you are in a hypomanic phase right now, and I'm a little concerned that if you did go off your medication, it would be pretty tragic. So let's make sure that you're cooperating with your treatment, and you're doing whatever your treatment team says that you need to do to maintain your stability at this point. Thanks for the call, Jenny.
Jenny, thank you very, very much. 888-318-7884 is our number. And this is something I always appreciate about the work that you do, and I hope it's common to Catholic counselors, and you're fully on board with that there's a science of psychology, there's a science of psychiatry. You don't have any sense in you that those things cancel out our spiritual or moral obligations somehow. You put the whole thing together in a holistic
right.
view. So someone like Jenny, you can take very seriously spiritual progress and great mm-hmm. spiritual gifts without dismissing the need for proper medical care.
No, absolutely. And that's one of the things we try to do with all of our clients is to help them access both the medical as well as the psychological and the spiritual tools that they can use to overcome whatever the problems are that they're facing.
Jenny, again, thank you for the call. We go now to Michael in Arlington, Texas, listening on 910 AM. Michael, your question for Dr. Greg Popchak.
My question is that I have a fiance, we have two kids, and my fiance tends to get really upset real quick and agitated to the point where she actually says that several different times, I hate my life, and it just gets to the point where I don't know how to react to that. My boys are 8 and 6, and of course they're going to be young ones. They're going to not want to listen, typical kids, but everything gets on her nerves. She's full anxiety. She's worried about everything. Sometimes her past tends to catch up with her and cause us to argue and fight.
Okay.
So, Michael, what I'm hearing is, okay, that she feels really pretty helpless. What you're describing there, that kind of behavior, the I hate my life, that's, believe it or not, it's what you would call merging behavior. In other words, it draws people in. You know, the natural reaction when we hear something like that is to say, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. You don't hate your life. Your life is good. You know, and we try to talk them into the what that behavior. I'm not saying she's doing this intentionally, by the way. What I'm saying is that she's unconsciously developed strategies for pulling people in when she feels vulnerable, when she feels overwhelmed, and when she feels like she can't handle it. And her behavior is just kind of screaming out, I need you to step in and take this over for me. And that's a really unhealthy way to seek help. And so what I need you guys to do is to have some serious conversations about those things that are causing her to feel that way, and to start making some plans for addressing those problems in healthier ways, including, you know, how she can come and seek your help when she needs it, as opposed to feeling like she has to go into this overly dramatized place where she's melting down to get your help. She doesn't trust that the people around her will be there to help her. I'm not saying that you necessarily deserve that doubt. I'm saying that I suspect her background has taught her that people won't show up for her if she just asks for help. That she has to allow herself to get to this place where she's almost breaking down before someone will notice and come in and help her. So your job is to sit down with her and really work through what are healthier ways that she could engage you early on before things are getting to the place where she can't handle it, and ask for your help and ask for your support and your guidance. Now, I also suspect that you're going to probably need some professional help here with this, because she's not going to be able to beat this entirely on her own. But just for one thing to kind of take from the call, it's really kind of working with her, not when she's in the middle of that place, but when she's far removed from that situation, to say, what can we do, honey, to help you feel like you're getting the love and support you need to manage all this stuff without you having a meltdown? And she might stare at you and blink 3 times and say, I have no idea. At which point, you call your local therapist or reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com and you get some new tools. But maybe the two of you can work some things out together. And if you can do that, you're teaching her healthy ways to reach out for help without having to go to that dramatic place.
There's, and that's the thing. It's like I see her getting agitated and upset, and she's starting to get into that mood again. And then I step in to take care of the kids. And then
no, I'm not. I don't want you to. But you're not here, Mike. I don't want you to step in and do that. I want you to talk to her before she gets to that place, and say, what do we need to do ahead of time to make sure you don't go to that place? Because you just stepping in and taking care of the kids, and I mean that's good. It gets through the crisis, but it doesn't solve the problem. The problem has to be addressed long before she gets to that stage, where you're sitting down with her and saying, we need to talk about different ways for you to seek help from me other than saying that you hate your life. Because that's sending a terrible message to our kids, and that's not helping you learn from anything and be able to do better in the future. So let's talk about a plan for making this work better the next time we fall into this situation. If you find that she's not able to have that conversation, then it's time to get some professional help.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate that. And if you want to review what Dr. Popchak has said, you can. We post these immediately after. You can just listen to it again and pick out the parts that will be helpful to you. I appreciate the call. Dr. Greg Popchak is our guest. He and his wife, Lisa, host More to Life mornings on except if you're in Sydney, Australia, then it's 10 p.m. that it comes on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. You can find out if you're thinking, you know what he said resonated with me. I think we need to talk with a counselor. You can go to CatholicCounselors.com and look up what they do, or you can find his books pretty much wherever books are sold. The one we've been focusing on today is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. And the thing is, you actually believe in this. You believe you can have a life without anxiety, Dr. Popchak.
Well, again, you'll have concerns. Everyone has concerns, but anxiety, what happens when we allow our concerns to separate us from God, from the love and support of others, and from our own best selves. So we can reconnect with those resources, we can address those concerns without anxiety.
Thank you, Dr. Popchak. Thanks very much. It's always a great pleasure to have you on here. In addition to all the other stuff, you're fun to have on.
I try. Thanks, Si. Yeah. It's always great to be here.
Well, good. I hope we'll do it again before too long. Hey, next hour, you know what? There's a lot of unclear thinking in our world today, and that unclear thinking makes our social life much more difficult. As a matter of fact, it leads to a lot of evils in the world. Part of the reason that the Catholic Church has always encouraged the study of philosophy. We've got a great book, a great author, all about philosophy and how to get yourself in touch with the great philosophical traditions without breaking your brain or falling asleep. We'll do that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.